Well, good morning, church. As Matt already alluded to, good to be back from Puerto Rico. For those that you didn't know, about it was 10 of us went down to Puerto Rico, and we just got back late Friday evening. I could tell you were praying for us. I want to just thank you for your prayers, and this is why I could tell you were praying for us. Despite the fact that we had to treat our water, and we were using water from a source that was not clean, and we were eating local food all week, none of us got sick even once. In addition to that, despite working up on roofs for most of the week that had jagged metal, and we were throwing them around, and we had wood that had been turned to toothpicks, and all kinds of interesting situations, we didn't even pull out a single Band-Aid out of our first aid kit. I got to tell you, that is prayer. So thank you guys so much. We want to tell you more about what went on, but I want to save that for tonight. Would like to invite you back this evening to our missions conference from 6 to 8 this evening over in the Life Center. You'll hear from the Wolf family, some international missionaries. You'll get to hear from Jess and Vi about their trip to India, and you'll get to hear from those of us who went to Puerto Rico. So come back tonight, and we'll have some pictures and some stories to share, and it'll just be a great celebration of what God is doing all the world around. But there is one thing I wanted to reference today that we learned in Puerto Rico. One thing we saw wherever we went was just a different way to look at things. Some of it I appreciated, some of it really got on my nerves, I'll be honest with you. But the thing I want to highlight is just what we're starting in this series today. In life, we often change our behaviors in hopes that it changes some other things in our life. It will make our life different. But we usually have problems changing the way we act because it's usually just a symptom of a deeper problem. We need to learn to not just change our actions, but also to change our attitude. We need to learn to change our attitude, change the way we think and we feel about life. And that's something that we saw a little bit differently down there. And I'll get back to that later on in the sermon. But during the season of Thanksgiving, let's spend some time working on an attitude of gratitude, a deep appreciation for the things of this life and for what God has done for us. That's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. We're just simply calling it an attitude of gratitude. And we're going to look at the book of Philippians, the letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. And we're going to move pretty quickly. We're only going to spend basically a chapter a week. But there are so many things in here I wish we could really dig in on. But I encourage you to do that on your own. Read Philippians chapter 1 a bunch this week and continue to reflect on what we've talked about. Because this letter, more than any other in my opinion, really does a great job of conveying what we need to do to change our attitude. To begin to live a life of thankfulness and of gratitude and real appreciation for what God has given and what God has done. Let me set the scene for you in the book of Philippians. Paul has been taken to Rome under house arrest. He was arrested in Jerusalem, but because he was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And so he appealed to Caesar, and that's something a Roman citizen had the right of doing. That didn't mean he was going to stand before Caesar, but that meant they had to take him to Rome, the capital of the empire, for a trial there. So he had appealed to Caesar, and it brought him to Rome. Lots of other stories about how he got there. Shipwrecks and all kinds of different stuff. But he had arrived at Rome under house arrest. And here's the thing, he didn't really know what was going to come of this trial. It was equal parts in the two extremes. They could have tried him and found him guilty of insurrection or something like that and had him executed. Or they could have just let him go. And so as he writes this letter, he's using this as an illustration for different circumstances in life, as we'll get back to. He actually penned quite a few of his letters during this time, and Philippians happens to be one of them. He had started a church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. He may have been back to visit it one or two more times, we're not real sure. But he talks to them as if he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. And he writes this great letter about changing attitude. Let's just start with these first two verses, and then we'll say a word of prayer. The intro to the book is this. Paul and Timothy was with him in Rome, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers, another word for elders, and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul starts out by introducing himself, I want you to see, not as an apostle, not as the person who started their church, but how did he introduce himself? As a servant of Christ Jesus. The Greek word there is doulos, means slave. He says, I'm a slave. He introduced himself. He didn't go to his big titles. He introduced himself as a slave to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you a little clue right now. When it comes to our attitude change and all the things that we're going to read in the book of Philippians over the next 4 weeks, it's got to come back to that. A submission to who Jesus is in your life. So in this letter, Paul's going to demonstrate how our lives are so often determined not by our circumstances, but by our outlook and our attitude, the way we look at things. And so my hope and prayer for this series is that we can learn from this great letter and begin to change our own attitude. So let's say a word of prayer and ask God to do just that. God, I pray first and foremost, I guess, that you'd open our ears, that we might hear your word today. Written from Paul to this church, but it's as if you're writing to us. And so God, open our ears to hear it, open our minds to understand it, but God, my real prayer today is that you'd open our hearts, that we might be able to change our attitude, change the way we look at our lives. So much could change if we just changed the way we thought about things, the way we felt about things. And so in this Thanksgiving season, God, I pray that it wouldn't just be business as usual, but that you would change us, God, that you would change our lives by changing the way we think. And so help us as we begin this this four-week series to have learn to have an attitude of gratitude and to see you active in so many things in our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's go on with the book of Philippians, and we're going to pull out a few things. Like I said, we could really dig in here because there is so much in the book of Philippians that we could jump in. Even I could do a whole sermon on that intro that we just read, but we're trying to get an overview to see the spirit of what Paul is telling them. And so we're going to, over these next 4 weeks, we'll look at a chapter each week. And in this first chapter, we see three things that Paul was expressing gratitude for, that was introducing the idea of thankfulness. The first thing that we see is that he was thankful for the people in Philippi. And so the first thing we want to apply is, am I thankful for the people that God has put in my life? Let's read verse 3 and following. Philippians chapter 1, 3 says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of the confirmation and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, that's quite the introduction, right? When's the last time an email of yours started that way? I mean, Paul is really letting these guys know that he absolutely loves them, that he's there for them, he's praying for them. I love how he talks about these people in Philippi. He sounds like they're close, lifelong friends, and yet by all evidence, he hasn't really known them that much or that long. He probably spent a few months there starting the church, getting things going, and then maybe visited a couple of other times. But these are not lifelong friends, and yet he treats them as such. He's thankful not just for what they've done for him, but also for who they are and who they are becoming. As a result of this feeling about these people, he wants what's best for them. He said, I know that God who began a good work in you is going to keep working on. He's praying for that progress. He's praying that their love may abound more and more, that they might grow and they might mature. So he's incredibly thankful for these people. So my question to us is this. Are we thankful for the people that God has put into our lives? Sure, there's a few that come to mind, but all of them? It's easy to think that Paul is only thankful for these people in Philippi because they're great people. Well, they sound like great people. Well, yeah, because Paul wrote to them that way. And so what I want you to see is that maybe, just maybe, Paul isn't writing such great terms because they're great people, but maybe he thinks they're great people because of what he's writing and his attitude and his heart. You see, it's easy for us to look around and they say, well, I don't have any people like that in my life. Well, who's to say these people were? Paul's attitude towards them showed that they were great, not what they did. Perhaps he thinks about them in the way he should be treating them. I've often heard it said that if you're having problems with somebody, if you're having a struggle with somebody in a relationship, they've treated you wrong or something's gone wrong, you know what you should do? You should pray for them. And pray for their best interest. Pray that God does good in their lives. And you know what happens when you do that? Your heart begins to change. Your heart begins to change towards these people. We know these people in Philippi were not perfect. No one was. And yet Paul speaks with them in these glowing terms. We have people in our lives that are far from perfect. That's where you should probably say amen. That's right. How can us finding an attitude of gratitude for God putting them in our lives change the way we treat them? You see, that will change the way we look at them. Not their behavior, not what they do, not how they treat us, but the way we look at them. Do we have their best interest in mind? Do you appreciate the people in your life? Do you want what's best for them? Who comes to mind as I talk about this? Is it a family member? A friend, a coworker, a neighbor. Maybe there's someone that you have failed to appreciate in your life. I encourage you to take this opportunity to follow up with them and make sure they know they're appreciated. I mean, just use this as a model. I'm thankful for God putting you in my life, and I hope that God continues to work in your life because I've seen great things, and encourage them and build them up. Are you thankful for the people that God has put into your life? Take the time to do that. Second thing we see Paul doing, he's thankful for the people there in Philippi, the people in his life. Second thing we see, though, he's thankful in the circumstances of his life. And you thought people was tough. This gets even tougher. Paul doesn't just show thankfulness for the people, but also his own circumstances. Now, I'd remind you from this introduction, he is under arrest, he's awaiting trial, and he's uncertain on whether he's even going to live or die. Yet listen to what he writes, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. But the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Well, only in that every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. So here's what I want you to see from that portion of the passage, is that even though Paul is under house arrest, and he's kept from leaving and he's kept from preaching the gospel, he can see God working in these circumstances. Now, I'm sure that the church in Philippi had heard about his arrest and they had seen it as an incredible loss. You can imagine this great traveling preacher, this apostle that helped start their church, had been arrested in Rome. I'm sure there were some tears. And so part of why Paul is writing them is to give them a different perspective on things, give them a different mindset, that God is using this circumstance to allow more people to hear the gospel. And because of that, Paul sees this negative situation in his life has led to others hearing about the gospel, and so he changes the way he thinks about it. He changes his attitude, and he goes so far as to say, this isn't a bad circumstance. It's a good one. It's a good one because God is using it. He even points out that some people were continuing to preach the gospel for the wrong reasons, some of them just to try to hurt him. And you know what he said? Who cares? As long as the gospel is going out, it's going out. That's great. In that, I rejoice. As long as the gospel was becoming known, he believed it to be good. So let's apply this to our own lives. Let me ask you, can you look at the circumstances in your life and see how God is using them for good? Sometimes it's not your good. And like in Paul's case, Paul was in house arrest and other people were coming to faith in Christ. It didn't benefit Paul at all. But Paul was going through this circumstance and God was using it for good in the lives of others. Paul being jailed was not a good circumstance. Okay? I want you to see that. Paul is not necessarily calling this a good circumstance. He's changing the way he looks at it. And as a result of how God's using it, it is a good circumstance. It's still not what he would desire. So hear me when I say this. I'm not advocating, I'm not arguing that we should be thankful for cancer or thankful for job loss or homelessness or divorce or whatever bad situation comes up in your life. I'm not saying go thank God for that. No, it's a disgusting thing and we don't want it there. But what I am saying is that if we can learn to recognize how God can use it in our lives and in the lives of others, we can be thankful in spite of it. We can be thankful in that circumstance. Notice I didn't say for the circumstance, but in the circumstance. And that's the example of Paul that we see here. And so is there a situation in your life right now that, if you're honest, you're not really that thankful for it? Like not exactly on your list of things at Thanksgiving this year around the table. You wish it wasn't there. But at the same time, there is that circumstance and you can pull back and you say, okay, I'm not thankful for it, but I can be thankful in it because I believe our God is a good God and he's going to use it somehow. Maybe not in my life, but in somebody else's life. Do you believe that? Can you be thankful in all circumstances? How do you do that? I mean, how are you even thankful for people? Well, it's this next part, the third thing. Paul was thankful for the people in his life, thankful for the circumstances of life. But here's the most important part. He was thankful because of Christ in his life. That's what drives us. That's what I want you to see is Paul was able to remain joyful for the people in his life and for the situations in his life because he had Christ working in his life. That's what gave him the ability to do this. This is not some sort of self-help trick that you just imagine everything to be good instead of being bad. No, Paul had Jesus Christ changing who he was from the inside out. Look at the second part of 18 and let's read the following. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. Because of my coming to you again. Paul was so convinced that he was going to get to see them again. But at the same time, he also said, it might not happen. And what I want you to see is Paul was so dedicated to Christ here that he was given this incredible perspective, and everything else in life fell in line. His view of people, his view of his circumstances fell in line because he had a proper view of who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what Jesus had done for him, and who he was in Christ. That's what brought all of this together. You see, he realized, and this is incredibly logical when you think about it, he realized that if Christ is indeed in his life, what is the worst thing that can happen to him? Death? Ha! That'd only be to his benefit, he says. I mean, it's as if he looks at the Romans and says, oh, you want to try to punish me by death? Please, do it quickly. That would be to my benefit. What made Paul able to look at everything in his life, the good and the bad, with an attitude of gratitude was not just tricking his mind into thinking that everything was good, but actually being convinced that Jesus Christ is God and had died for him and had rose again and had beaten death. Therefore, he beat death. Therefore, whatever this physical world could do to him was actually his benefit. That mindset changes everything, doesn't it? So Paul was good with whatever came his way, good, bad, or ugly, because of Christ being in his life. That's what gave him the ability to be thankful. Do you have Christ in your life today? Most of you would answer that question yes. You'd point to a decision that you had made some time ago. And if you do answer that question, yes, let me ask you this. Are you growing in an understanding of what that actually means? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Are you able to see that the worst thing that this physical world can do to you is actually your benefit? My gosh, that changes perspective, doesn't it? You have nothing to fear when you get to that realization that the worst thing this physical world can do to you is to take your life, which puts you right in front of your Lord and Savior. Wow. That changes the way you look at this world. That changes the way you look at things. Changes your attitude. Now, if you have to answer that question, no, you might say, well, I believe in Christ. I believe in the historical figure. I believe most of what's taught here. I believe the Bible. But I don't know that Christ is in me. I would say make today that day then. It's not just about knowing about him. It's knowing him. It's not religion. It's a relationship. So invite Christ into your life today. Make today the day of salvation. Nothing else is going to get you there. So Paul was encouraging us to be thankful. I am thankful for the people in my life. I'm thankful for in the circumstances of life. And most importantly, I am thankful because of Christ in my life. Paul urges these Philippians to live like this. Look at verse 27. He says, only let your manner, he's not talking about himself anymore, he's talking about them. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that is from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So what I want you to see is that coming to Christ, and people get this mindset, especially in corners of churches where the prosperity gospel is taught, that once you come to Jesus, everything's going to be easy. Anybody's experienced that? No. That is not the truth. That is not biblical at all. And that's what Paul is saying here. It changes your attitude. It's not going to change your circumstances. Things are going to continue to be tough. But the thing is, you now recognize that all of the rest of that doesn't matter as much as living for Christ does. Living with this attitude of gratitude will cause you to fear nothing in life. Not the suffering, not the negatives, not the financial issues, not the relational issues, not the health concerns. And it will allow you to see how God can use your life. That's why we want to teach on this. This attitude of gratitude will change the way you look at your life and change the way God can use your life. I promise you this, if you live a life constantly believing that you are entitled to more and better things, you will always be miserable. I have seen it time and time and time again, that if you live your life constantly feeling entitled and expecting to have more and better things and to be blessed all of the time, then you will be miserable. But if you can change this idea of what a blessing actually is, and see that you're already blessed beyond imagination. If you can see what God has done in your life, the people, the circumstances, and be thankful because of Christ, you will have a joy that becomes part of who you are. You know some of those people, don't you? But some of you say, no, I'm skeptical. You can't. Nobody lives that way. Nobody lives that way, constantly expressing joy in the midst of terrible circumstances. Let me tell you guys, I saw it all last week with my own eyes. An island devastated by a hurricane, and things just ripped to shreds, and lives just broken apart. I knew on Sunday when we worshiped with him last week at about this time, as they were standing there singing in Spanish, and I really didn't understand a lot of what was being said, a lot of what was being taught, but I did recognize some of their songs. And one of the lines was, "No me solteras en la coma a la tormenta." And what that means is, you never left me through the calm and through the storm. They sang, and it just hit me there. And I looked around, and they had people that had lost everything saying, "God is God, not my stuff." And I was interested to see if we'd see it the rest of the week. And I got to tell you, believers in Puerto Rico lived this out. They were thankful in spite of their circumstances. They didn't need their stuff. Despite this situation, they were thankful. I noticed, even though that all we were doing a lot of the times was just putting a tarp on their roof, that was it. They were so thankful for that. And they were appreciative to us, yes, but you could see that in these believers' lives, that thankfulness went deeper. We even had one man tell one of our teams that went out and tarped his, well, I'd call it a shack, tarped his shack, and he said, "You guys were the answer to my prayer. I've been praying that God would send somebody." Guys, that's a different perspective. Most of us go, "Well, it's about time. Been 6 weeks, where you been?" And instead, it was this mindset, this attitude of gratitude that my stuff ain't my God. My house is not my God. My God is my God. And he's going to be there through the calm and through the storm. And so here's the challenge for us. Are you thankful for the people in your life? Are you thankful for the circumstances in your life? Are you thankful for Christ in your life? One of the things the pastor shared with us down there at the main church that we were serving at was that he's seen Maria do incredible things. It's brought people together, loving on other people. The churches have come together and have unified. The people are looking beyond their circumstances. And he went so far as to say, God isn't just working in spite of Maria. He's working because of Maria. To bring people together. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we could get it through our thick human skulls, that without a storm we could start doing that? But let's be honest. Maybe there's a metaphorical hurricane that's ripped through your life. Didn't have a name necessarily, or maybe it did. Maybe it was cancer or job loss or joblessness or relationship difficulties. Maybe that's the hurricane that came ripping through your life and just tore your life to shreds. Is God still God? Yeah, he is. Question is, can we see him as that? Can we begin to say, I'm thankful because of Christ in my life? And as a result of Christ being in my life, I can be thankful in circumstances and thankful for the people that God has put in my life. How is it that you want to respond today? Maybe it's saying a prayer of thanks for the people in your life, or actually writing them a little note of encouragement or a thank you card. I challenge you to do that. Maybe it's the circumstances, not necessarily being thankful for them, but being thankful in the midst of them and recognizing how God is using those things. Maybe you can't see it. Maybe you can go to somebody else and you say, I'm bewildered here. How is God using this circumstance in my life? I can't see any good coming out of this. Maybe the rest of us can tell you, well, you don't know what an inspiration you are to us as a result of this. And you find out your circumstances changing the way the gospel is communicated to other people. Or maybe it's coming to Christ for the first time. It's a recognition that Christ needs to be in your life, or a recognition that you need to grow in Him. Whatever the case may be, what we want you to see as we start this series, that the foundation of an attitude of gratitude is not you. It's Jesus Christ. It is what God is doing in your life. That's how you start to have an attitude of gratitude. It's not just self-help. It's recognizing who God is and what He's doing in your life. Let's stand and sing of God's faithfulness. If you need to come up here and pray, the altar is open. If you want to talk to one of us, you can talk to one of us. If you need to sit back down and just pray to God, that'd be great too. If you'd like to fill out that Connect card, we'll pass the offering plates here in a minute, and you can just drop that Connect card in there. However it is that you want to respond today, I just pray that you would respond and say, God, I need to grow in this attitude of gratitude. Help me to see who Christ is in my life, and help me to grow in that as a result. Let's sing of God's faithfulness.